Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for every opportunity of life that God gives us. Every day is another opportunity. Many times the people of God miss out unnecessarily. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, actually it's the disciples' prayer, because they asked him how to pray and he answered. But part of what he said was, ask for your daily bread. The reason we ask for the daily bread is so that God's will can be on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that prayer will guide you in life. If you ever wonder about God's will, let's go over the prayer. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You honoring God. You living to honor God. You're living to be a blessing to other people. The way we love God is identical to how we love man. The way we love man is the way we love God and the way we serve God. You love man that's out there unsaved. The love of God in you wants to reach out to him every which way you can. You love other people because you love God. And because you love God, you love others. You love people. So the first thing you're saying is, Hallowed be thy name. You're honoring God. Your life is to honor God. And then, and God takes pleasure in honoring you and being a blessing to you publicly. So I want to be a blessing to God publicly. Everywhere I go, I want people to know that I love God. I want to treat people in a way that they'll know that I love them and that they matter to me. And I don't want to leave anybody stranded on the earth. See, the rapture is going to happen soon. So in my mind, I'm thinking, how are people going to feel when I get raptured and I didn't do a good job of warning them? I think that way sometimes, and I said, Lord, I don't like that. I want everybody to know that I love them, and I want to give them fair warning. That's the least I can do, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And even though I minister, you know, I've been ministering a long time, and people know I'm a minister and all that, big deal. But the people I see every day, I want them to know that God loves them. I don't want to just tell them the rapture come and get saved. I want them to know that I love them, that they matter to me, they matter to God. God paid a high price for them. Jesus laid down his life and died so that they could live, their sin debts paid. And I want to love people, treat people right, so they can believe those things they can't see. Now, continuing with the prayer. See, this is not just a prayer, it's an example. But this is the things we need to be praying every day. He said, Thy kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom come here. Your will be done. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal. And the goal of the church is for all to be one. And he gave us all the fail-safes. He gave us the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to help train us in the word of God so that we be not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine until all are one. And we'll live on earth as we will in heaven. That's the goal. And I don't want to see people tossed to and fro. There are good people trapped in all forms of sin. And some people live disobedient lives. First of all, because we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. What else are we going to desire? Sin is out there. And then cold religion wants to look at others as being stupid for being in sin. Instead of, everybody was trapped in sin before they got saved. And it's hard to get, it's hard to walk out of the world. I even sympathize with people that are caught up into something. But I want to live in a way and let people know you don't have to be caught up in something you don't want to be caught up in. Now, if you want to be in the world, that's one thing. I won't look down on you because you want to you want to be in. I just don't, I won't agree with you, but I love you no less. God loves you just like he loves me. So I love you the same way. I love you even if you don't love me. I really do. I really love people. And I pray to so that my will always be to love people when they needed me to. And always love them genuinely. Not with fake love. And there are all kind of opinions out there against me. Because I love God. Now there's a view in the world. The enemy had to give them something to counter the love of God that shed abroad through his people. So he tried to get people to scoff at Christian people that love them because to form a rift so we can't get to them and they'll stay in the world and be subject to him so he can murder them. Now he wants people in the world to think that all Christians look down on them and think they're better. And the clarity to that is this: we love people. We were given an opportunity for a much greater life, and we took it and found out it's better. And then we go back and tell others that your sin debt is paid. God loves you. God is good. We found out he's good. He's not like how the devil told everybody he was. See, Satan slanders God. Satan loves to slander God. And a lot of people buy into his lies. And when they're trapped in sin, they can't get out. They feel like, well, I can't meet his expectations, so I might as well do the best I can. And sometimes people get upset with God because they have problems they can't master on their own. And all the while, they're playing, and Satan's playing them. And I notice everybody is being played. Even the Christians people who yield to the devil, they're being played. Or everybody was played by him before. That was seasons that we all lived in some form of deception. That was a time I thought I didn't want to be saved. And I truly, my heart did. And then I went through a phase where, I want to get saved, but I want to make sure I do right. I didn't know no better. I had never been saved before. I didn't know what to expect. But I didn't feel like I could live up to what was expected of me, like many people don't. And I understand that. It's even honorable to desire to do right when you know you're not sure if you can. See, it takes faith to walk out of the world. You got to believe in a God you can't see. You got to believe in a Savior that you haven't seen, only heard about. You got to believe that God became a man and died for you and washed you in his blood. Now, don't that sound convincing? But it's the truth. And when you read the whole thing, the whole story, it is true. And then the Lord is there to back it up. And you don't see him. I didn't see Jesus die for me. I read the word of the prophets. I believe what God said. Faith looks to God. It's faith because I didn't see it. And everybody, see, if you dare to believe these things, there's light in you. An evil man, a wicked man, will not believe these things. Anybody that love the world system and the hatred and the murder of it, and they'll murder people for money, they despise what I'm saying. They have no love for man, so that means they have no love for God either. And they don't care about not living in his kingdom. until they get hit with the fire. Then they want to get out of hell, but they still don't want to do right. If you got people out of hell, they'll probably try to do right so they won't have to go back, but it's not in their heart to do right. Because they know we have a chance to get saved because we haven't seen. And salvation is by faith. We believe in the grace that God has given. And we should never forget it. Now, but while people are shaped by iniquity, the enemy say, well, he tried to put a rift between people who need help, the help of God, and the people who can speak the gospel in order to give them the help that they do need. There ain't but two types of people in the world, in the earth. People that need help and people that know they need help. And Christian people who believed on Jesus and lived in his light, they knew they needed help and they received it. We were made righteous. I didn't do anything of my own self to be righteous. The only reason I'm going to heaven is because of the grace that God gave me. God gave me salvation. I believed in what Jesus did. He paid your sin debt. He paid everybody's sin debt. So now you don't have to pay for it. You have to receive salvation by your faith. It's already given to you. You receive your healing by faith. Jesus paid a high price to give it to you. You receive the wisdom of God because God is good. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Even if you're mentally challenged, by Jesus' stripes, you're totally healed. Every part of you, in your mind, in your body. But people die without receiving what God has given them. And I want it to stop. I want people to know that God loves them. I love you, even if you hate me, because God loves you. And I love God because he first loved me. He taught me what love was and what love is. And I want to love you. I want to love everybody, even the people that hate me. Well, preacher, if you was a soldier in a war, would you fight? Yes, I'll fight. I'll be very deadly. I'll shoot my enemies like I'm supposed to. But that doesn't mean I don't love them. I would kill them. If I saw somebody killing innocent people, I would kill them too. But if I could stop them without killing them, I'd do that. But in a dangerous situation, I would protect my fellow soldiers and do my duty to my country, for my country, like every noble soldier should do. But I wouldn't go and start a war for greed's sake. I would do it to protect my country, just like I would protect my home and my wife and my daughters and my son and anybody that's being vandalized as a citizen. God loves us. And I live to represent his love, and I'm not afraid to fight. And if I turn the other cheek, it's because I love redemption more than pride. I love God's people. Now, the Lord loves us. If we pray for our daily bread, we're praying for what we need to build our life so that we can express the honor we have towards God. We can express the love of God and our lives can honor him. Ask God for your daily bread so that you can do all those things. Your daily bread includes the knowledge that you need for the day, the wisdom for the day, things you need to understand, the strength and might you need for the day. It includes the fear of the Lord, all the way down to the financial things and the needs you have, even the things you desire. can be used as tools to help you represent God. Did you know that if you receive the kind of car you want, the kind of car that you desire, the way you like it, and people, every day is going to be better for you. If you really want a Camaro or a Mustang, but you can afford a Corolla, why not believe God for your daily bread so that you can end up with the car you desire? And the Lord will give you a plan to get the one you desire. Because if you have the things you desire, your life is going to, you'll have more joy in your life. If you have more joy in your life, you're going to automatically inspire others. It shows them that God loves you and He blessed you to get what you desire, the way you like it. And now you're happy, you have a better attitude. Or you're encouraged to have a better attitude. And it inspires younger people and everybody to see you. That God loves you. That God was concerned about the things that concern you. And everything about your life. That you, ask for your daily bread. If you're saving up for something that you want, such as that Camaro or that Mustang, whatever it is, or the situation, a job in another city, maybe you're transferring and you want to live in a certain state, and you're working towards that goal, and it's going to take more than you have, and it's going to take time and patience. If you're receiving your daily bread, you're receiving the encouragement you need to continue. Many times Christians fail because they don't ask for their daily bread. See, today you may need knowledge. Tomorrow your daily bread may be more wisdom to help you get organized towards your goals and the goals of God. The next day or the next few weeks, your daily bread may be it seems like so long and everything, your efforts are in vain. Maybe you should sell it for less. And you may need strength, might. Whatever you need, God can supply. You may need a fresh word to stay encouraged. So that you don't give up, quit, or do anything else. Sometimes your daily bread may be rest. You may have been pushing yourself too hard and you may need to just take a break. See, whatever the Lord put on your heart, that's what you do. Sometimes when I can work my body so much and I can say, I gotta stop. I gotta take a break. Sometimes I have wisdom to just take a break. You don't need to quit, give in, or give out. You need to just take a break. What you're believing God for is going to take a longer time than you may desire or may have expected. But you're getting somewhere. Today is not the end of the road. God is still alive. He's going to be alive. He's going to be there to bless you tomorrow. Whatever encouragement you need, whatever you need, He's got it. And I like for people to know the Lord. The Lord is good. And He does people right. Now, in the last broadcast, we talked about overcoming sin and things that's embarrassing. Remember, people will make fun of your problem, but God will not. And if you want His help, He will help you receive all the knowledge and wisdom so that you can destroy all of your problems and live according to His wisdom. He's going to help you win, folks. He's going to help you help others. And the situation you have is not hard for God. God told Moses, Moses told God, I can't speak. He had a speech impediment. He said, I can't speak. God said, who made man's mouth? Now, God was willing to heal his mouth. If he said that, he could have healed his tongue so he could speak correctly. But at that time, Moses didn't believe God to heal his tongue. And God had a job to do. He didn't have time to wait on Moses to get it together. Now, he could have healed his tongue if all he had to do was ask him. Moses had a speech impediment. Now, when you watch the movies, they always show Moses speaking well. It didn't work like Moses had a speech impediment. And he didn't talk well. He told his brother, Aaron, what to tell Pharaoh. And they both spoke Egyptian. So that's how he did it. But if he had believed God to heal his tongue, he would have healed his tongue. This shows me that there are people who can receive healing, but they don't. They can receive their daily bread, but because they haven't seen others receive their daily bread and they're not used to it, they don't even ask for it or expect it. But in the model prayer, Jesus showed us to pray for our daily bread so we could put the right things first in our lives. If you're going to follow God, you're going to need some things to be in place. And whatever it is, God will give it to you. It's not a big deal. The Lord loves us. Receiving your daily bread is important. And never look at what it's costing you. Your life is a sowing of seed. All of your decisions and all of your actions, they're no different than a farmer sowing his seeds. And a greater crop is developing because of the seeds that you sow. Everybody who persevere and do the things that's necessary, they're going to reap a reward for doing just that. Now, out in life, it's not always easy. Taking the high road is not always easy. It's not for chumps. But you are mighty in Christ. Paul said, I can do all things who strengthens, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. I know how to abound. See, a proud man that was used to being everything given to him, he may know how to abound. He may know how to invest and wait on prosperity. He may have that down pat. But you take away everything, he doesn't know how to go out and produce. He doesn't know how to be resourceful. He doesn't know how to, he'll have to learn how to start small. He'll have to learn another spectrum of patience. He'll have to get a job, work in a grocery store. It's easy to be rich if you know what to do. It's easy to buy big things and sell it and make profit on it. But let's say everything was taken, and now you got to work a job and make money day to day. You have to manage it well. You were used to being lavish. Now you got to do without for a while. Now, Paul knew how to do that. So he'll have to learn patience. People will see him working in a grocery store or on the back of a garbage truck or doing a job that others look down upon. But if he knew how to do, if he could go through that and deal with it, he can go right back up to the top again. And the Lord will help him because God loves everybody. He'll have to learn things and do things he never thought he would ever do in his life. And it'll be a challenge to him to do the everyday things. He'll have to develop muscles because he never had to work hard. But he knows how to manage money, so he should be able to do it if he had to. Then people who are abased, they'll have to learn how to abound, how not to waste, how to think big. Their blockade would be learning to have vision for greater things. But when we ask for our daily bread, we get the vision that comes with it. If we follow through with the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Earlier, I named seven things. You can go back and listen to the same broadcast. I mentioned seven things that will help you in your everyday life. The Lord's going to give you a daily bread, and it's going to include the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, including the Word of God. And whatever you need that day, if you ask and receive it, you'll have what you need to stand. And that's what it's all about. And the Lord is going to take us beyond what we used to. He can take, and your problem won't look so big anymore. And when you overcome it, you'll have vision for the next great thing. See, if you, a lot of Christians, they're fighting small battles. They're trying to, they're in survival mode, they're putting out small fires. Now the fire looked big to them, but they're not getting anywhere. If they win and they can put their focus on what the Lord has to say to them, they can grow at a faster rate and be a blessing to more people. And then, if they become stable, when they become stable enough, the Lord can anoint them to do something. And then they can operate in the anointing. But if you're always focused on in survival mode and never really putting out the fires of Satan, his fiery darts are coming at you and you're putting them out and you're not completely putting them out, you're going to always be battling small fires. Let's just kill the whole thing. Let's kill it from the root up. And it won't be a problem anymore. And now you can concentrate on the greater things of God. And that's what I did. And I know how it works. I've done it. It's easy. The Lord can show you greater things. He can promote you like he did Daniel. Now, it's easier to live according to the blessings of God. We need our daily bread. We're supposed to prosper. We're designed to do it. Don't look at the hardship. Look at the reward. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Now, we left off in Daniel recently. We were looking at chapter 10. In chapter 10, he was asking the Lord about the interpretation of a vision. And he interceded in chapter 9, and then the angel came to give him the interpretation. So I'm going to start at verse 15. Well, verse 13 says, but the prince, he said, well, let's go back to verse 12. Then said he to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days? For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. He saw the vision and he lost all strength, and especially in the presence of the angels. But that was an angel that looked like a man, touched him and gave him strength. He said, verse 17, for how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither was there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to thee. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. and said, "Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Now he had composure. He was able to stand up and talk and reason. Verse 20, Then said he, "Knowest thou not what I am come unto?" Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia." The prince of Grecia shall come. Let me read that again. Verse 20. Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And I am gone forth. Lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." So Michael was helping Gabriel teach. Michael was doing the warfare while Gabriel was able to teach Daniel the things that he was praying about. He persevered. He didn't stop because it looked bad. He didn't stop because it wasn't convenient anymore. But he reached forth to receive what was his, like you got to do. This represents a reaching forth. Satan is trying to capture us. We don't need to let him capture homosexuals or lesbians or fornicators or adulterers. If we can get them out of hell, we need to do that. We need to receive from God the anointing we need to receive to break the yokes to get our people out of bondage. These are our people. From every race, they are our people. I may be a black man, but white people are my brothers. Indians are my brothers.